Welcome once again to our program, Salvation History, the New Testament, the story of the redemption of all mankind. I'm your host today, introducing our guest, Ron Eldren. I'm Monsignor Moran, chaplain of the Carmelite Monastery at Terre Haute and John Paul II Catholic High at 12 Points in Terre Haute, Indiana. And our guest again, as usual, and our author of this fine series is Ron Eldred, who teaches religion and history at John Paul II Catholic High School. Ron, we've been talking about the great miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, which seems to have happened on two separate occasions, and which Mark says Jesus talks about both of those. So let's just talk a little bit about miracles in general that Jesus performed. What does this tell us about who Jesus was and his ministry?
Jesus performed miracles to show his compassion for people in need, but I think most of all to prove that he is who he says he is, God. Jesus proved beyond a reasonable doubt that he is God by doing things that only God can do, such as by displaying every attribute of deity, including omniscience, that is, knowing everything, omnipresence, that is, being everywhere in a sense, omnipotence, he's all-powerful, eternality, immutability, and other kinds of what we call attributes. By unrivaled teaching and divine understanding of people, by living a life of perfect virtue and holiness, by making prophecies that came true, such as the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and of his suffering, death, and resurrection, by performing many great miracles, such as healing the sick, restoring sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, and driving out demons, curing the crippled, multiplying the loaves and fishes, walking on water, calming the sea, and raising the dead to life. And above all, of course, by his resurrection from the dead.
So we can't stress enough what the Church is always reminding us of, the mystery of the Incarnation, that Jesus is true God and true man, one person with, as the theologians say, two natures, one divine and one human. Ron, tell us exactly how the Church defines a miracle.
A miracle is a supernatural event which God sets aside the laws of nature to accomplish some purpose. Jesus performed miracles out of compassion for suffering human beings, but as I said a while ago, his main reason for doing so was to prove that he was who he said he is, that is, God. Miracles in general, the Catechism says, quote, "The signs worked by Jesus attest that the Father has sent him. They invite belief in him. To those who turn to him in faith, he grants what they ask. So miracles strengthen faith in the one who does his Father's works. They bear witness that he is the Son of God, but his miracles can also be occasions for offense. They are not intended to satisfy people's curiosity or desire for magic. Despite his evident miracles, some people reject Jesus. He is even accused of acting by the power of demons." This is from paragraph 548. Now, the Encyclopedic Dictionary of the Bible says that the miracles of Jesus Christ have a significance all of their own. Quote, "For our blessed Lord claimed not only that he was a legate of God and the great Messiah and Redeemer expected since the fall of Adam, but he insisted that he was the very Son of God himself. These claims he proved by working undeniable miracles, as, for instance, by multiplying the loaves of bread, by restoring the dead to life, and above all, by his own resurrection. Jesus himself singled out this latter sign as the chief argument to support his claims. To the rest of his miracles, he appealed in a general way as a confirmation of his teaching. But he explicitly referred to his resurrection as the most convincing proof of all. Jesus' miraculous power was unlimited. He exercised it wherever and whenever he so wished, not only upon irrational creatures, but also upon men and even devils. This power was in no way restricted by time, place, or circumstance, and had its effect whether the subject was present or absent. In addition, by all these miracles, Christ showed forth God's goodness and his interest in our welfare and happiness. After our Lord's ascension, the apostles worked miracles as a sign that the gospel came from God. Wherever they preached, God accomplished wonders through them, and in this way endorsed their mission and strengthened the faith of the new converts. The power of miracles was promised to the church as a seal of her divine mission. And that ends that quote from the Encyclopedic Dictionary of the Bible. So Jesus' miracles were signs that pointed to his divinity.
So a miracle, as you said at the beginning, is a above nature or above natural event in which God sets aside the ordinary laws of nature to accomplish some good purpose, like revealing that Jesus is truly God, then that he is more than just the Messiah, but he is the Messiah and God made man. Well, Ron, miracles have been used for centuries, 2,000 years since Jesus, more or less, to prove God's existence. Tell us about this practice of the church.
If miracles exist, then God exists. For an event to be classified as a miracle, it must be extraordinary. That is, not an occurrence in the ordinary course of events. Moreover, the context in which a miracle occurs must be religious and cannot have any natural explanation. Otherwise, extraordinary events that are not in a religious context or can be explained by natural occurrences are mere oddities, curiosities, or strange happenings, as is found in Ripley's Believe It or Not. The logic of a miraculous event in the form of a syllogism is as follows. A miracle is an event whose only adequate explanation is the extraordinary and direct intervention of God. That would be the minor premise. There are numerous well-attested miracles. And then we have the conclusions. There are numerous well-attested miracles. Therefore, there are numerous events whose only adequate explanation is the extraordinary and direct intervention of God. We can then conclude that God exists from this.
Okay, so the startling thing that church very clearly always has taught, not only the existence of God, of course, but that the existence of miracles in which God intervenes to work beyond ordinary natural laws to produce some extraordinary event that has no possible human or natural explanation. And I must say the church bends over backwards before it will accept something as a miracle having no human or natural explanation. Ron, many miracles are reported in the Old Testament. The Hebrews, well, what about that?
We considered many miracles that God performed on behalf of the Israelites during our series on the Old Testament, such as God speaking to Moses in the burning bush, the 10 plagues that God inflicted on the Egyptians because of Pharaoh's hardened heart, the parting of the Red Sea during Exodus to save the Israelites from the Egyptian army, the walls of Jericho tumbling down as the Israelites marched around it, God's lightning of lighting of the wood in Elijah's triumph over the priest of Baal, and many, many others. And as we've been pointing out, Jesus himself performed many miracles out of love and compassion for his fellow man, and we read about those, of course, in the New Testament. And after Jesus died and rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, the apostles performed many miracles, as reported, especially in the Acts of the Apostles. And the early church fathers performed countless miracles so that unbelievers might believe. I was just finishing a biography of St. Augustine, and he doesn't play the sub very big in his ministry, but he did perform many miracles during his lifetime. Moreover, countless miracles have been recorded during the Middle Ages. All of these miracles occurred within a religious context that could not have a natural explanation.
And if we recall, the scriptures say that the first miracle Jesus worked was multiplying the 6 jars of water into wine to save embarrassment for the wedding couple when the refreshments were running out. And it said specifically it was Jesus' first miracle, and his disciples began to believe in him. And that's one of the reasons that Jesus worked so many miracles, to help his followers believe that he really was God made man. Well, Ron, we certainly believe that miracles still happen today. What about this? Can you comment on that?
Well, miracles do still happen today. And if they happen today, it is certain that the stories we have heard about in the Bible and other places through history are true. They are a continuation of the loving compassion of Jesus begun in the Gospels. And many thousands of attested and documented miracles have occurred in the 20th century. Events that simply can't be explained by natural occurrences. Moreover, they happened in a religious context. Although God does perform miracles among non-Catholics, the great majority of miracles have happened to Catholics or are due to the intercession of Catholics, dead or alive. We could literally take hundreds, even thousands of pages discussing the miracles that have been due to Our Lady's intercession at Lourdes or Fatima or Guadalupe and elsewhere, or the miracles that resulted from the intercession of St. Padre Pio or Father Solanus Casey or Blessed Brother Andre and many dozens of others. In fact, I went back fairly recently and reread a biography of Father Casey and also of Blessed Brother Andre, and their lives were just simply full of thousands of miracles.
Really holy people, and of course God is able to work through them.
Well, Father Casey actually lived in Indiana a good part of his life.
Really?
Yes, up around Huntington, Indiana, in a monastery.
Really? Huntington? I didn't know that. Very good. Well, can you give some examples of modern-day miracles?
Among the types of miraculous events that have occurred in the modern era are cures of hopelessly sick people, people suffering from terminal cancer and other deadly diseases, the restoration of body organs such as eyes and lost bone, the restoration of hearing and eyesight, the preservation of dead from corruption. They call these the incorruptibles. And even raising the dead to life. Believe it or not, thousands have been raised from the dead over the centuries. And there is evidence that exists to prove this. Most of the miracles occurring in history have taken place in the Catholic Church, which I think is logical, since it is the mystical body of Christ, the source of all miracles. Miraculous events provide irrefutable evidence of the claims of the Catholic Church, that it is the Church founded by God himself. A description of other types of miracles would literally take a book. In fact, there are many reliable books written on the subject. In addition to miracles, among the types of well-documented supernatural occurrences are mystical experiences. such as ecstasy, rapture, levitation, auras, locutions, visions, stigmata, fragrances, bilocation, apparitions, private revelations, and the like.
There's a beautiful legend, I believe that's at the beginning of the movie on, it was really a document, a historical account of the apparitions of Mary, Virgin Mary, to Bernadette in 1858. And the little reading says, "For those who believe, no explanation is necessary. For those who do not believe, no explanation is possible." So even when Jesus worked miracles right in front of curing a blind man or the deaf man, raising the widowed son of Nain, people who saw it sometimes didn't believe and explained it, well, he worked by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of Satan. So miracles don't necessarily convince a person if we've got our mind closed against the possibility. What about modern science, Ron, verifying many miracles?
Well, it certainly has. Modern science has been employed to verify the occurrences of countless miracles, in fact, during the 20th century. For example, the shrine at Lourdes. France has a committee of distinguished medical doctors, and not all of them are Catholics. In fact, not all of them are even religious people, who carefully examine every claimed miracle. Although there have literally been thousands of instantaneous cures of every imaginable disease and infirmity at the site, only 75 to 80 of them have passed the rigorous scrutiny of the committee. However, only one miracle is enough to prove that God exists, one occurrence of an event that only the intervention of God can explain. There's a book by Ruth Cranston called The Miracle of Lourdes. She was, in fact, a Protestant lady. She wrote this book back in the early 50s. I read that book in 1958. And it was very instrumental in my own conversion, so to speak. Where she is telling the story of the miracles at Lourdes and the medical committee there and all the scientific research that was done, you know, to verify these miracles.
And of course, many of the doctors on that Lourdes medical board examining for a miracle are not even Catholic.
That's true.
And they want it to be that way, so they are sure they're getting a well-rounded evidence from scientific community.
I might add, there have been some doctors who weren't Christian or whatever, who actually were converted by the...
I think Dr. Alexis Carroll.
Yes,
wrote
a famous case.
A very famous case.
Yes.
After he had gone to Lourdes and seen all these medical records and the absolute detail in which they were authenticated.
He wrote a book about this.
Yes. In the Catholic Church, a holy person who has died and is being considered for being beatified or canonized have to have miracles attributed to their intercession in order for the Church to say, well, there's no question about this person being very holy and living the gospel in an extraordinary way. So tell us something about that process.
A miracle that is due to the intercession of a saint in heaven is incontestable proof that God exists. Miracles are God's way of telling us that the dead person under consideration for beatification or canonization is in heaven. A committee of medical doctors must verify that there is no other possible explanation for miracles attributed to the intercession of these candidates for beatification or canonization than the intervention of God.
Okay, and for instance, not so long ago, the very strict examination of Rome approved the final miracle that happened to a worker out at St. Mary's of the Woods who stopped into church, wasn't even Catholic, and asked for the intercession of Mother Theodore Guerin. And he was instantaneously cured, and the documentation was sent to Rome, and it was accepted as the final miracle for the canonization of Mother Theodore Guerin, the foundress of the Sisters of Providence, or at St. Mary's of the Woods.
I believe he was a maintenance man, if I remember right.
Yes, I think he was.
I know the family, the man who was the head of that department there, that maintenance department there. Their daughter actually went to school with one of our daughters.
So it's amazing how close, the poet says, earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only those who see take off their shoes. So miracles are happening all around us. Well, the process of verifying a miracle is an extremely rigorous or strict one. Tell us about this process a little bit, Ron.
In order for a miracle to be verified by the church, the following conditions must be satisfied. The malady must be grave and impossible or very difficult to cure. The malady must not be in a state of decline. There must be no use of a possible effective medicine. The cure must be instantaneous. It has to be complete. There must be beforehand no noteworthy decline of the symptoms or anything that might provide a natural explanation. And the cure must be permanent. And when I know reading Ruth Cranston's book, it goes into all of these different things here and how the records were kept and this, that, and the other. There are literally thousands and thousands of people who were instantaneously cured at Lourdes that they have not verified them because they didn't have the records.
Sure. And so there is a very scientific, as you said, rigorous examination. What do they have, about 70 or 80 records,
between 75 and 80.
They had the records, brought them, they were able to get them, followed it up, and there was no human or natural explanation. Well, Ron, miracles are not incontestable proof of God's existence, are they?
No, they aren't. Their acceptance is not as certain as mathematical logic, as certain as 2 plus 2 equals 4, for example. In the final analysis, acceptance of the truth of miracles is a matter of faith or belief. If this were not true, everyone who would believe in God, who witnessed or heard of miracles. Nonetheless, many who see or hear of them, they don't believe. Unbelievers try to explain them away in some manner or another. Even the scribes and the Pharisees acknowledged that Jesus performed miracles, but they attributed their cause to the devil or to magic or something of that sort.
So it's an amazing thing. Now, if we don't want to believe, we certainly can figure out a reason not to, like the Pharisees saying Jesus cures by the power of Satan. God usually doesn't heal or provide for people by miracles. Is that correct? That's not the ordinary way God works.
Yes, that's correct. Although God is the primary cause of all being, including miracles that affect being, he usually works through secondary causes rather than primary causes. If he directly acts, of course, that would be a primary cause. For example, he usually doesn't heal people directly, but works through doctors employing surgery, medicine, or some kind of therapy. God not only created humans in his image and likeness, but he also made them stewards of the earth and co-creators with him. This would be, of course, secondary creation. A steward is one who manages another's property or financial affairs, one who administers anything as the agent of another or others. He holds their property in trust. He doesn't own it, in other words. We are stewards of God's property, his creation, and we will be rewarded, in part at least, on how well we take care of it. One scholar has said of co-creation in the 20th century, a line of reasoning that might be called creational has emphasized work as co-creation. That is, it is through work that human beings both shape and build the world. In doing so, they fulfill the mandate of Genesis, where Yahweh called humankind to serve as a faithful steward of God's creation. So usually, almost 99 and 99 hundredths percent of the time, when God does things, he does them through natural processes and through human beings. Even, you know, most people are cured through, you know, natural processes.
How many of us have been helped with the wonderful discovery of modern medicine and modern techniques to help us? I know I always considered it a miracle. I had this terrible inability to walk and move my arms, get out of bed. And I went through Dr. Balmaceda, a Philippine doctor here, who gave me all kind of heat treatments and all kind of swimming instructions and exercises. And I got rid of it all completely. And I always say, well, that was a modern miracle. And I tell Dr. Balmaceda, well, you're my miracle doctor. And she always says, well, I was the instrument. God was the one who cured you. So a very humble approach.
Yes, doctors are, whether they recognize it or not, are instruments of God's healing power. And God, as we said a while ago, operates through secondary causation. That doesn't mean God isn't behind it, ultimately, of course.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about miracles before we start discussing other details about Jesus' public life in Galilee, there in the north of the Holy Land?
Well, just that God had performed countless miracles through the ages so that men and women may believe. And for the spiritual good of the church, he has given supernatural charismatic gifts to missionaries and to others to heal the sick and the crippled, foretell the future, speak in foreign languages, perform miracles relating to natural phenomena, even to raise the dead, speaking in tongues, prophesying and performing miracles happened more frequently in the early times to aid in the spread of the gospel, but occur even today, as proven in the beatification and canonization causes approved by the church. Miracles routinely happened at the great shrines of Lourdes and Fatima and Guadalupe and others. Moreover, almost every great saint of the Catholic Church is associated with miracles. Although the ability to perform miracles does not necessarily attest to the sanctity of the possessor of the gifts, there is well-documented proof that many, if not most, of the Church's great saints experienced miraculous mystical phenomena in their lives, such as ecstasy, rapture, levitation, auras, locutions, visions, stigmata, frequences, bilocation, apparitions, private revelations, and the like. Each of these experiences is associated with the holiness of the saint and a highly intense union with God, whereby the faculties of the will, intellect, memory, and imagination are absorbed by God. And in some instances, God has preserved the bodies of saints to bear witness to the holiness of their lives and that they are in heaven.
Well, I'm sorry our time has run out on us, Ron. So to our listening audience, may God bless you all, always and in all ways.
No.